if you're married, then we have a marriage fellowship that's going to meet on Saturday, June 21st at 5 p.m., and they're going to have a picnic. And if both spouses can't make it, then one can come. And so mark that down, June 21st at 5 p.m., our marriage fellowship picnic. And our men are going to meet on Saturday, June 28th at 8:30. So if you're a man, you can come and have a great time. We call it a breakfast of encouragement. So encourage all men to come on Saturday, June 28th. And I have a testimony here that someone gave to me. It's actually from Nadine. And, you know, I just want you to know what God is doing here for people that are a part of this. And she says, at VCF, I learned the importance of giving tithes, offerings, and first fruits with joy. Generosity, faithfulness, and confessing and trusting God's word. And in the past 2 months, God has given me a townhouse, over $2,000 income taxes paid in full, 4 new tires, groceries, additional jobs, an increased pay, and her daughter's missions trip paid in full with surplus. Lawyer fees paid in full. I'm not done yet. Hold on. Health and divine favor. The Lord is our shepherd and we lack nothing. He daily loads us with benefits. He causes our storehouses to be full and flow over. He rebukes the devourer on our behalf as we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And asking, let's just praise the Lord. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your good things. Oh, hallelujah. We rejoice with our sister. And so paying tithes is worth it. Amen. And I'm a tither, and I can testify to that too. So don't forget, your tithes and offerings can be given anytime during the service. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise as we bless every giver and every gift. As we give it unto you, Lord, you multiply it and bring it back to them, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, you cause God to give to their bosom. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to give you a little bit of a review, and because I've finally been released by the Lord to go on to something else next week. And next week, we're going to begin a series about yielding to the will of God. How many know God's got a will for you? But you have to cooperate with him in order for that will to be accomplished in your life. So we're going to talk about yielding to the will of God starting next Wednesday. All right? It's going to be good, so you don't want to miss it. And we have our scripture up here. And Paul is praying for the church here in Ephesus. And he says, he's asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, to give you the Spirit who will make you wise and reveal God to you so that you will know him. Ask that your minds may be open to see his light, so that you will know what is the hope which he already called you, how rich are the wonderful blessings he promises his people, and how very great is his power that work in us who believe. All right? And you can go on. Hallelujah. All right, we can go on. Okay? And I'll just give you some definitions of what we've been talking about. We've been talking about making the invisible visible, okay? And God wants to give you wisdom. And these are just some words that talk about it. Insight, understanding of spiritual realities, wise in spiritual truths, and wise in the things of God. How many want to be wise in spiritual truths? And in the things of God, okay? All right? And then we have the spirit of revelation. It's the same spirit, just a different thing. What does revelation mean? It means a disclosure. It means to uncover. It's a disclosing of spiritual truths. It's to make things appear, okay? It's a manifestation, and it's bring things to light that was hidden, all right? and knowledge. It is recognition. It is full discernment. It is an acknowledgement. It is to be fully acquainted with. It means to perceive, to be sure of, and to comprehend and to understand. Now, the knowledge that we're talking about is not just knowing something, but it's also knowing something and experiencing something. All right? Next one, enlightenment. He wants the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. All right? It means to shed rays, to shine, to brighten up, to illuminate, to make to see, to make manifest, and to show. All right, understanding. It deals with the thoughts and the feelings of your heart. It's the eye to your soul. Understanding is the eye to your soul. What light does to a dark room, understanding does to your soul. Okay? It's the power or the faculty of the soul to receive information. Right? When you see something, you're actually looking at an image, and then your eyes see it, then your brain tells you what it is. Okay? It's the eye of the soul. It's like light. Understanding is described as light. All right? And I think that's it, isn't it? Yes. That's good. These are just some things that we've been talking about since we began this series. And I want you to go with me to Luke chapter 5. All right? Luke chapter 5. And there's a story here about Jesus. And we'll start with verse 1. It came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. So I want you to get this picture. Jesus is by the shore. And he's starting to teach or to preach, okay? And the people are gathering to him, and the crowd is gathering, and the crowd is getting tighter and tighter, okay? And they're starting to press upon him. And he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. So basically, there was this empty ship because the fishermen were washing their nets. And Jesus needed a little bit of room, so he got into the boat. And he asked Peter if he could just thrust out a little bit from the shore. And so he used the boat as his pulpit. All right? And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. All right? So can you get this picture? Let's just pretend that this is a ship. Okay? And this is the shore, and this is the lake. So Jesus is sitting down in the boat, and he is teaching the people. All right? He is speaking the word of God because he is the word, and he is teaching them because Jesus is the best teacher that there ever was. He's teaching them because he wants them to know something. He wants to show them something. And one of the ways that Jesus shows us something is through teaching and through preaching. Okay? So his word is going forth, and now, when he was done speaking, all right, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let your nets down for a draught or for a catch. Wait a minute. There was something that he knew that no one else knew. And And he wanted to show Peter something that he couldn't see. And it was Peter's connection with the Word that brought about a revelation that God wanted to bless him. Do you know what? God will never ask you for anything without blessing you for it. Whatever God asks of you, whether he asks you to do something or to give something or to go somewhere, God wants to bless you. All right? How many know that about God? Whatever God asks of you, he wants to bless you in return, because that's just who he is. So here Jesus was using Peter's boat. He was using it to preach the gospel. He was using it to teach the people. He was using it as a means for his word to get out. And he turned to Peter when he was done speaking. He said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." Now, verse 5, "And Simon answered and said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night." All right, Peter was telling Jesus, "Look, I've worked the night shift. I cast my net in every part of this lake that I knew fish would be, and not one fish got into that net. And I cast that net, and I brought it in, and I cast that net, and I brought it in, and I cast that." Have you ever tried to cast a net with your, you know, in Guyana, they use cast nets sometimes. I tried it. I about got tangled up in the net. You know, it's a lot of work to toss that net, and it spreads out in the water. It's got weights on the round of it, and then you, as you drag it in, the net closes, and whatever's in that gets in the net, and you bring it in. It's a lot of work. Peter's experience was telling him that there are no fish there, but God's word was telling him that there are fish there. But you couldn't see the fish because the fish were hidden. I mean, unless you could stick your head in the water and you had goggles, you wouldn't be able to see the fish, right? In other words, they're hidden from plain sight, but they're not hidden from spiritual sight. And it took the Word of God to make the invisible visible. So, you know, Peter said, "You know, I've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down your net." There was something about the word that was spoken to Peter that sparked something on the inside of him. And he didn't understand everything what the word was telling him to do. He just knew that he had to obey the word. He was compelled to obey the word, even though he didn't feel like it, even though he didn't want to, even though his experience was telling him something different than what the word was telling him. How many of you, your experience sometimes tells you differently what the word says? But if you listen to the word, you're going to discover hidden truths. You're going to discover something invisible is about to be made visible, but you've got to do what the word says to do in order to get that. So, Jesus said, "Let down your nets." And Peter said, "I will let down the net." Okay, Peter, you got part of the revelation. Jesus said nets, and Peter said net. Okay? There was a reason why Jesus said nets. Because he knew something that Peter didn't know. He saw something that Peter couldn't see. There was something hidden there that Jesus wanted to do for Peter, but in order to do that, he had to do what the word said. So, and when they had done this, or when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes. Say a great multitude. Great multitude. And their net broke. Well, because you didn't follow nets. How many know when God reveals something to you, you don't need to add to it, and you certainly don't need to take away from it. You just simply need to do what God shows you to do. If God shows you nets, then you let down your nets. Amen? A great multitude of fish, and their net broke, and they beckoned to their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled what? Both ships, so that they began to sink. Now, I don't know how many fish it takes for a boat to start sinking, but they filled up two boats based on a revelation. How was that revelation made known? That revelation was made known through speaking. Jesus declared to Peter, "Let down your nets for a catch." I guarantee you that when Jesus says, "Let down your nets for a catch," you may not understand it, you may not see it, you may not know it fully, but when you operate that revelation, see, it takes wisdom to operate that revelation. If Peter would have used wisdom, he would have let down nets. But anyway, imagine the money that they got for two boatloads of fish. I'm going to tell you something about that boatload of fish. They earned enough money from that one situation, that one circumstance, to walk away from their jobs and to follow Jesus. Think about it. I don't know what fish cost. I mean, you know, they're weighed by the pound, right? It was then that those disciples made a decision to follow Jesus. They were able to walk away from their fishing business because they had earned so much money in one catch that they were able to follow Jesus full time and become fishers of men. How many know God knows how to get you from point A to point B? God knows how to get you out of a rut. He knows how to get you out of a bad situation. He knows how to deliver you from danger. And he uses wisdom and revelation as two components to help us grow. When we operate, see, and these are some things that we can ask for. We can ask God for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We can ask that our eyes of understanding be enlightened. We can ask that we know the hope of our calling, what the riches of our inheritance of the saints, and we can know the power of God. Through this, we know there are things that God wants us to know and things that God wants us to have. Go with me to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Did you know that God was odd? What are you saying, Pastor, that God is odd? I'm saying he's odd because of this. He works from the inside out. He doesn't work from the outside in. When he changes a person, he doesn't change the way you look, but he changes your heart. He works on the inside. He works inside out. Now, man, we work on the outside in. If we make our outside look good, then people won't know what's on the inside. But God doesn't do that. He works inside out. I remember in my younger days and my wild fashion sense, I had an outfit that I bought. It was a pair of jeans and a denim shirt. And they were made inside out. And everywhere I went, whenever I wore those items, I had this shirt. It was a long sleeve shirt. It was made inside out, and the jeans were inside out. People thought, "Don't you know how to dress yourself? You're inside out." I just thought it was cool. But this is how God works. He works from the inside out. Go to Matthew chapter 8 and verse 23. When he entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. Did you know that's why, did you know that Jesus is very much into ships? That's why he's into fellowship. Amen? Victory Christian Fellowship. This is where the fellows and the ladies can come into the ship. Amen? Why do we come into the ship? Because Jesus came into the ship. We're just following Jesus here. How'd you get here? I just followed Jesus. Jesus came in here and so did I. Because Jesus is into ships. Just don't come in the ship and rock the boat. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea. That's a storm. Insomuch that the ship was covered with waves, but he was asleep. Now, isn't that interesting? You got waves that are big enough coming in this boat. Not just one, but waves of. They're coming. They're covering this ship. Okay? And the ship has to be rocking. You know, like a teeter-totter. Right? Back and forth. The ship was rocking. The waves were coming in. The wind was going. And Jesus was sleeping. Don't know if he snored or not. I don't know. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he said unto them, why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Why would you say that? He obviously expected them to do what he was about to do. Okay? And I want you to pay attention to this next phrase. He arose and rebuked what? Can you see the wind? I want you to notice something. Jesus dealt with the invisible first. He dealt with what you can't see with the natural eye. He rebuked the wind. Now, you can feel the wind, but you can't see the wind. Where'd that wind come from? I don't know. I just felt it. I see the trees moving. I see the flag moving. You don't know where it comes from, and it can go as quickly as it came. But Jesus dealt with the invisible first. Why? Because he's an inside-out God. He likes to deal with the unseen before he deals with the seen. He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. But I want you to know there's a reason why it's written this way. There's a reason why the winds are named first, because he deals with the invisible. He deals with the unseen. He is a master at making visible what's invisible. He's a master at bringing forth what we can't see. He's great at showing us, at uncovering what's hidden. Because that's the kind of God he is. He rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? He deals with what can't be seen before he deals with what can be seen. When he begins to work, when a person is drawn to the Lord, it's like something is tugging on their heart. God begins to deal with on the inside. He begins to show you that you need a Savior. He begins to call you, and you feel compelled to come to him. You feel drawn to him. You know, people don't get saved unless they're drawn. Because he deals with the invisible before he deals with the visible. Go to Mark 16. Mark 16. And let's look at verse 14. Well, let's back up a little bit. Let's go to verse 9, Mark 16, 9. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. She went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they heard he was alive and had been seen of her, what did they do? They believed not. Even though Jesus told them several times that he was going to raise from the dead, he told them that you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'm going to raise it again. And now it's the third day, and now he's risen from the dead. And this lady comes and tells that he's been risen, and they don't believe it. All right? After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. So one person tells them the same story, they don't believe it. Two more tell them the same story, and they don't believe it. Okay? I'm making a point here shortly. Verse 14, afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them. He corrected them. He rebuked them. He charged them with their unbelief and their hardness of what? God began to deal with their hearts. They had become callous for some reason. Fear had gripped their heart, and they wouldn't even believe the message. So God had to deal with the invisible. He had to deal with the attitude of their hearts. He deals with the attitude before he deals with the person. Sometimes when God wants to do something in a person's life, he's got to correct your attitude. He's got to correct your mindset. Because through experiences, through the opinions of others, through whatever, we develop these mindsets in our life. All of us have mindsets. And when we discover the truth, when we discover that a mindset that we have doesn't line up with God's word, what has to change? We have to change. God's word isn't going to change, but he deals with the unseen. He deals with the invisible before he deals with the visible. Okay? He appeared to them, and the first thing that he did, he upbraided them for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Yeah, I went to church today, but I didn't believe a thing that the pastor said. Well, do you realize it takes faith to receive a revelation from God? You're going to have faith, and you're going to believe God even when you don't understand it, because if you believe God, the understanding will come. Okay? But God deals with the unseen before he deals with the seen. When Jesus rebuked the fig tree, when he said, no one shall eat fruit of you again, the next day, what did the disciples notice about the fig tree? It dried up from what? Can you see the roots of a plant or tree? They're underground normally, unless you got roots that are sticking up. But normally, roots are hidden. Roots are unseen, and they noticed that the fig tree was dying from the roots up. Jesus dealt with the unseen before you noticed what was happening in the visible. And some of you last week, there were some people in here that needed answers, right? Is God starting to show you some answers? Is God starting to speak to you and give you some answers? Amen? Because we believed last week, and we prayed for people needing answers, and I believe that God's given you the answers. Now, If you're waiting for an answer, don't get out of patience. How many know you got to let patience have her perfect work? All right? Too many times we want God to work on our time. All right, God, it's been 5 minutes. Well, believe me, if there's anything hindering you from hearing God, God will tell you about it so that you can remove it. Because God wants you to hear him more than you want to hear him. All right? Go with me to 2 Samuel chapter 22. I want to touch on enlightenment a little bit. Second Samuel 22. You know, Paul prayed that God would give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that your eyes of understanding would be enlightened. How many know that Jesus is the light of the world? And he wants to shine his light on you. All right? Let me just do something right here real quick. See, this is how God works. He shines light in dark places. And what the light does, then, it makes whatever was in the darkness known. Light is created to expose things. Light was created to reveal things. Light was created to show things. How many has ever been to a play where they had a spotlight? Do you realize the spotlight does not necessarily illuminate the whole stage, but it shows you the parts that they want you to focus on. Maybe it's an actor giving a monologue, and they shine that light, and that everything else is dark except for the actor. And the actor is in the light, and you can see him clearly because light makes things easily seen. All right? And our God is an illuminator. And, you know, God will give you light, but you got to maintain the glow. You know, you could add or detract from the light that God gives you. You can make your light brighter, or it can become so dim. Remember in the days of Samuel? The Bible described Eli's eyes as being dim. He couldn't see. He couldn't hear God's word. He couldn't see truth. He couldn't receive revelation. Samuel came to him 3 times and thought that Eli was speaking to him, but it wasn't. And Eli didn't even know until the 3rd time, hey, this might be the Lord. See, eyes being dim resembled the spiritual condition of Eli's house. Don't let your eyes become dim. Don't let your spiritual eyes become dim. Let me tell you something. Your spiritual sight is not attached to your natural age. You could see things clearly when you're young or when you're older. Your spiritual sight is not attached to your natural age. Just because people say, oh, when you get older, you're going to lose this and you're going to lose that. Really? I don't know, Moses climbed Mount Pisgah, and he looked over into the Canaan land. He climbed without someone helping him. He didn't have an elevator. He climbed up, and he was able to look across Canaan, and he didn't even use binoculars. And anything that helps you see better is good. Someone say amen. Amen? If you have to get a bigger Bible, get a bigger Bible with big print. That's why I have this Bible right here. It helps me see things clearly. 2 Samuel 22, verse 29. For you are my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. Woo, I love that. Every one of us has, you know, Paul said it like this, we see through a glass darkly. You know, when you look through a glass darkly, you can't really make out the figures, you know, like you should. But when you look through something that's clear, it's easier to see what's on the other side, right? For those of you that wear glasses, when you got smudges on your glasses, doesn't that bother you or hinder your vision? You know, when I wear my sunglasses, I like them to be clear. I don't like them to have spots all over. Like, what is all this? I'm constantly cleaning my glasses. Why? Because I want my vision to be clear. God wants you to have a clear vision spiritually. And he is your lamp. He will lighten your darkness. You listen, there's the one glimpse of the light of God. The darkness is afraid of the light. How do I know that? When I turned on these lights, the darkness didn't hang around. When you turn on a light in a dark place, darkness says, I'm getting out of here, man. The light's on. You know what? Light is greater than darkness. Jesus said, there's no darkness in me. Amen? Go to Ezra chapter 9 and verse 8. And if you don't have a Bible, you can look up here. Ezra 9, 8. And now for a little space, grace has been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God may lighten our eyes and give us little reviving in our bondage. God wants to lighten your eyes. The more light you have, the easier it is to see truth. God wants to lighten your eyes. He wants to open your eyes. All right? Go to Psalm 13:3. Psalm 13:3. Say, God is enlightening my eyes. Say, it's getting brighter in here. Amen. Psalm 13:3 says this. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God, lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. All right? God wants to lighten your eyes. Psalm 34. Go to Psalm 34 and verse 5. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Isn't it awesome to not be ashamed? You know, one time, I was spending a lot of my day with the Lord. I was single, and this particular day, I just was worshiping God. I was praying in the Spirit. I was studying the Word for hours. And I met with some friends, and we were outside sitting around a picnic table. There was about four or five of us. And the one girl, she just kept looking at me. I'm like, what are you looking at? She looks at me, she says, you're just glowing. You're glowing. I was like, praise God. You know, that's what happened to Moses when he was on the mountain. 40 days he was there in the presence of the Lord, and he came down and they said, Moses, put a veil on, man. He literally got a suntan, a S-O-N tan. He was up in God's tanning booth for 40 days. You know, when you spend 40 days in God's tanning booth, you're going to come out with a glow. But when they looked at me, their faces were not ashamed. Proverbs 29:13. The poor and the deceitful man meet together. The Lord lightens both of their eyes. How does light come to a person? What causes light to come to a person? It's the entrance of his word. When God's word gets into a person's heart, their life is illuminated. Because the more word that you allow into your heart, it illuminates different areas of your life. You know, you want to be a good father? Then allow the word of God about fathers to come into your heart, and it will illuminate you. You want to be a good husband? You want to love your wife like Christ loved the church? Then spend some time reading those scriptures, and light will come to you. And when light comes to you, you can't help but walk in it. You got to walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen. You got to walk in your revelation. You got to walk in what God shows you. You got to walk in what God tells you. You got to put it into practice in your life. That's how we keep the glow and maintain the glow. Isaiah 29:18-24 says, blind eyes will see and the confused will understand. Isaiah 42:16, the Lord makes darkness light. Maybe you're in a dark moment. Maybe you're in darkness and you don't know how things are going to work out. Well, I'm telling you, there's a light, not at the end of the tunnel. The light wants to come right there in the darkness. Just like he came down to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were thrown into the furnace. He didn't stand on the outside. He went right into the furnace with them, and he shined on them. He protected them. He kept them safe, but he was right there with them, and their light was shining. And Nebuchadnezzar, he was looking at it, he says, wait a minute. Didn't we throw in three? And there's a fourth man, and that fourth man looks like the Son of God. See, they were in the glory of God. They might have been in the fire, but they were under the glory of God. And when you're in the glory of the God, the fire can't touch you. When you're in the glory of God, this world can't harm you. And God wants to share his glory with you. He wants to bring light to you. He wants to illuminate you. He wants to increase your understanding. Why? The more you understand, the more you can operate in. The more you understand, the more you can do. How many has ever been on a job that they've never worked at for the first time? Don't they have a thing called orientation, where they put you with someone so that they can show you what to do because you're just learning? This is your first day, and they show you. But eventually, once they stop showing you, and you start doing it. Why? Because your understanding grew. The more understanding you have, the easier it is to operate in the things of God. And if you want to operate in more things of God, you got to get more understanding. Proverbs 4:7. It says, and wisdom is the principal thing. With all thy getting, get understanding. Daniel, he had a vision that he didn't understand. And so God sent an angel, and the angel explained the vision to him. An explanation leads to understanding. And our God is a teacher. If you don't know God's will, he'll teach you his will. If you're willing to learn, God will teach you how to prosper. He told Joshua, he said, if you meditate, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, and then you'll make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. That sounds to me like he was teaching them how to prosper. He was teaching them how to succeed. And he uses wisdom and revelation as the primary tools to help you grow in these things. If you want to grow as a Christian, you're going to have the spirit of wisdom and revelation operating in your eyes. You're going to have to get understanding. You're going to have to be getting light, light, and light. How do you know someone's been in the presence of God? Because they'll shine. What did God tell you to do with the light that he gives you? Let your light so shine before men, right? that they see your good works. See, you let God's work, you let God's light shine through you by doing God's will and by doing what's good. When you're doing what's good, you're actually putting light on display. All right? Forget 42nd Street and all the theaters and flashing lights. I'm telling you what, God's got your name written in lights. And there's not a light brighter. There's not a light that can shine. Those who win souls will shine as the brightness of the sun, Daniel said in Daniel 12. If you want to shine, you can shine as bright as you want to. But if you want to grow as a Christian, anybody here don't want to grow? If you don't want to grow, raise your hand. We'll pray for you right now. Listen, don't ever think that, listen, until you get to heaven, you haven't arrived. Come on. You're still breathing, right? So that means you can pray, you can praise God. Listen, don't let rocks outdo you. Don't let the rocks do what you're supposed to be doing. You're smarter than rocks. If you don't praise him, the rocks will cry out. So, I haven't arrived yet. I do not know everything. But I am striving to continue. I will continue to learn until I get promoted to heaven. Because, listen, once you get a little bit light, there's a lot more light to be gotten. And I don't know if that's good English, but I don't care. Sometimes you just got to make a point. Whether good English or bad English, it doesn't matter. What matters is the anointing and the power of God. I mean, Smith Wigglesworth had an eighth grade education, and he raised more people from the dead in his day than a lot of the ministers. Because you know why? You know why that was? Because he surrounded himself with light. He says, I never go 5 minutes without reading the Bible, but I always read the Bible for 5 minutes. Smith Wigglesworth never allowed any other periodical, any other publication in his home other than the Bible. He was an eighth grade educated plumber from England who God used mightily because he allowed God to show him things. He allowed God to give him the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Revelation shows you what's yours. Wisdom shows you how to operate in it. But I believe that some light bulbs are going on tonight. I believe that there's some illumination taking place tonight. Amen? God wants to give you light. God wants to illuminate you. He wants you to walk in the brightness of his presence. Father, I give you thanks and praise for your word tonight. Father, I thank you that you give to each one of us here tonight the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that our eyes of understanding are being enlightened, and we know the hope of your calling. If there's anybody here tonight and you don't know what you're called to do, I want to pray for you. I want to pray that God shows you what he's created you for, because he wants you to know the hope of his calling. He wants you to know what to expect. There's a calling on every one of us. Callings aren't just to preach, but they're to do everything. You know, a calling is not limited to the ministry. God wants you to know his resurrection power. Is there anybody here that needs some power in your life? The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you and will quicken your mortal body. Do you need your mortal body quickened tonight? And God wants you to know what the riches of his inheritance is. God wants you to know that he is so good. He wants you to know his goodness. We're going to pray for Lorraine tonight. She got a bad report. So I want you to stretch forth your hands to Lorraine. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, there's only one report that matters, and that's your word. And Father, your word says that you took away her infirmities, and by your stripes, she is healed and made whole. So Father, right now, I ask you to change the chemistry of her blood in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I call heaven and earth to witness this day that as we speak the word of God over Lorraine in the name of Jesus, she is a believer. And Father, your word produces life. Your word produces health. Your word changes situations. And Lord, I declare right now that her blood is healed and made whole in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that she experiences a benefit of having all sickness healed in Jesus' name. He heals all your sickness and all your disease. Say this, Lorraine. Say, Jesus is my healer. You've healed me. When you died on the cross, and when you rose from the grave, and I receive my healing now, it's mine. I'm the healed, and I'm the whole, in Jesus' name. Amen. So, if you want to know what God's called you to do, now, he may or may not tell you that right now, but the anointing can make you more sensitive. Amen? To hear his voice. So if you need to know what God's called you to do, if you need to know his resurrection power, if you need to know his goodness, I want you to come up if that's you tonight. I want to pray for you. There's power in prayer. If you want to know your calling, if you want to know his power, and if you want to know the riches of your inheritance, come hungry and God will fill you. God will touch you because that's the kind of God we serve. He loves you. He wants you to know this. And I believe that when I lay my hands on you, the Holy Spirit does it. I don't do it. He does it. Amen. I'm just a vessel. I'm just doing what I feel like God told me to do in the name of Jesus. And we're going to see some sparks.